Matthew chapter 11. If you would open your Bibles to the 11th chapter, book of Matthew. I forgot, was it the first stanza or the second stanza of Be Still My Soul? And it talked about going through thorny ways, leading to a joyous end. I would like to avoid all thorny ways. Do you ever get too close to a bougainvillea and you're trying to get away from it, and it just kind of rakes your skin or your shirt? Picture that in a spiritual connotation. All right, verse 28, 29, 30. Familiar passages, I'm sure. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we come before you tonight in appreciation for the reading of your word, these good songs, the hymn selections that take us a little bit out of our comfort zone of just where we are in life. And hopefully before your throne of grace, and that we might see ourselves as you see us and what you really want for us. And sometimes it's almost too simple. We just make it complicated. So I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts this evening. Message to is to saved people. I pray that everybody in this room here has received Christ as Savior. If not, may they be convicted of their sin and the debt of sin that they owe, and understand that Christ came and took that debt, paid it in full through His precious blood. He died, He was buried, and then He rose again, and He offers you salvation by grace through faith. So, Father, have your way in what takes place here. I pray that it would be an encouragement and strengthening to our hearts. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we know, or we should know, or you will know, that the Lord allows things to enter into our lives that nearly devastate us. I know that the devil does try to destroy us, but the things that come from God aren't designed to do that, but rather that we would grow in grace and grow in Christ and in our faith and become closer to Him. Now, the paradox there is very difficult, because as we go through the things we go through, and we hurt, and you know, the foreseeing of no end and so forth, we don't realize what in fact that the Lord's trying to do. And there may be no other way than to do this to get you to draw closer to Him. So if you've not gone through any of these things, this may be all new to you, but sooner or later, you will. Trouble and trials are a part of the Christian life. In John chapter 16, go ahead, let's turn there, John chapter 16. Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says in verse 33, John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." All right, so are we on the winning side or not?
Yeah.
All right, I look and I said, I have peace in Christ. I am on the winning side, and tribulation's going to come, but it doesn't matter. I'm on the winning side. And we just have to fight our way through in one way or the other. Philippians chapter 1. It's the second passage. Philippians chapter 1. And look here in verse 29. "For unto you..." Now, I've said this every time I go through this. I've taken the word "you" and put my name there. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for his sake. And again, if you haven't had that privilege yet, I know you that may not be a verse you look forward to wholeheartedly, but you will suffer for him. And remember, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So don't try to get out of it, but you will suffer. And we have suffered. All right, so I want to look at this small, short passage in Matthew 11, if you could turn back there, and hopefully be of help to each one of us to handle things that seemingly look like they're handling us, or better yet, to be victorious in living a spiritual life. We talk about victory in Christ, and we've got that positionally, but what about physically? I mean, in everyday life, there's always something that comes in our way to stop us in our place and see, all right, where do I go from here? So there's some things that I want to bring up, very simple, and the answers are just as well. So the first thing that I want to deal with is found here in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the first thing is that we need to take those things, those burdens, whatever they may be, to the right place. Come unto me, the Lord says. I mean, I can use a person, but I'm going to use a person in the next part of here. Come unto me. Listen, when these things do come, fretting is not going to help you. You can fret and fret and fret. Most people, that's what they'll do with these, and that's a shame that they do. And we also know that being anxious, worrying, is the wrong place to go. So hold your place. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. And again, this should be like review material, but it's good review material. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look here in verse 6. Excuse me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right? So to be careful for nothing is basically not to be anxious, not to worry, not to fret. Anybody fretting in here right now? Again, when you have this few people, you can see everybody, and you can see what their facial features and what they're doing. Anybody fretting? God knows, and strangely enough, I can see it. All right, fretting doesn't help when these things come. Number two, friends very often don't help either. Go with me to Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13. Job had three friends from chapter 2, verse 11. And the Word of God calls them his friends, his three friends. And this is what he reduced his friends to. I'll tell you why. What did I say? 13? Okay. 13, and look at verse 4. He's speaking to all of these, all three of his friends. These are the ones that sat down with him and spoke not a word for a whole week because they saw his grief and his sorrow was so bad. And you would look and you say, those are good friends. But now they start to talk. Now they start to give their analysis and tell him what the problem is. So he says, but ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. And let's be honest. It is true that friends often will lie to you. They'll withhold things from you that you need to hear in one time or another. They'll keep you from the truth of certain things. Not because they have your welfare at stake, but they just, that's what friends do sometimes. And you know, in the end, I think, you know, you would evaluate it the same way that Job did. Your physicians are no value. You're forgers of lies. You're making things up on my condition. So fretting's not going to help. Friends aren't always going to help. They'll help somewhat. Running away won't help. Fleeing won't help. You can't run away from the problem and solve it. You can't run away from the trials of life because they're just going to be there. That's a normal part of life. Sometimes you may be at fault. Many times you're not at fault. And you just have to, you know, stand and realize that something's going on here, and fighting isn't going to help. Now, I have a hard one with this because my instinct is to fight back. And I'll look at a circumstance and not see the bigger picture sometimes. You probably never did that. But there's an awful lot of people that live in denial about what's going on, and they wind up fighting what they're called to face. I don't want to go through this. I don't want this to happen. And if that goes on too long, many of us wind up fighting against God. And when we do that, we lose every single time. Every time. Now, our Heavenly Father is there ready to help. Remember, He said, "Come unto me." You know, I could get kind of picky and say, He didn't say, "Come unto the pastor." He didn't say, "Come unto the church." He said, "Come unto me." Because there is where you're going to find help. If you'll go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's look here in verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Last passage, although we're going to come back to Hebrews 4. So you might want to hold your place, but I may go all over the place before I get there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Somebody ripped that page right out of my Bible. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, we already were told in Philippians 4 not to worry, not to be anxious, but to go to the Lord in prayer. And here we're told to go to the Lord in prayer boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So very important. The Lord wants to help. Our Father wants to help. You go to Him and you go boldly. And we'll discuss later on a time scenario here. Okay, verse 28 again in Matthew chapter 11. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The second thing is transfer those things, those trials, those burdens, those circumstances to the right person. Now, we already know the Lord said, "Come unto me." Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 7, we read, "Casting 35% of your care upon Him, casting 80% upon of your care upon Him." No, it says all. All your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He can say that. I would hope that in a human sense, we can say that toward each other. There are some more than others, but we all ought to care for one another, but only one person can make that absolute statement. And that is the Lord. He cares for you. And He always cares for you. So cast your burden, your trial, your situation, transfer them to Him. The casting, of course, is a fishing term, like casting of nets. And they had weights on the bottom so that when you threw it out, it would sink to the bottom. You would catch the fish. But here He's not talking about catching fish. He's talking about casting it out and leaving it there. Don't bring it back in. And that's what we oftentimes do. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Then, back here in Hebrews, chapter 4, and look in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's one who cares for my situation, your situation, our situation, and he also knows exactly what we're going through, but not in the sense where he ever sinned. And sometimes we're not so fortunate. And we transfer some of this and we say things and we do things and we wish he never said them. We wish we never did them. And we're familiar that he cares about our situation, but we're human. And he's God manifested in the flesh, and he cares in a perfect divine way, an absolute way for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is one, and basically there is only one that can do something about your situation, and not do something, but something beyond our imagination. Something that we would never, ever think that the Lord would do. He does. He can. In Job chapter 42, if you remember Job's story, how many of you read through pretty regularly the book of Job? Probably not too many of us. But the whole story was Job lost everything that he had except his wife. He lost his livelihood. He lost his children. He lost everything. He had boils and he was afflicted. His friends turned against him. And the whole book is just going back and forth with the things that they say. Many of the things they said were true, but not about him necessarily. And what was the divine description of Job? He was a man that was perfect, now meaning mature, and he hated evil. And he lived for the Lord. And of course Satan was allowed to do what he did. So in all the course of the chapters, then we come to chapter 42, and the discussion takes this turn. Verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is thee that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. And when Job said that, he was referring to, he understood now, and what was taking place here, and that the Lord was going to answer, and this is the hard part, in his time. And you have to understand that the Lord is beyond time. He doesn't live in time. We do. And so we think, I prayed about this. I'll take George Mueller for an example. George Mueller had a friend who he witnessed to, wouldn't trust the Lord. I think he witnessed to him several times, went home, started praying for him. He prayed for him for 46 years. In the 46th year, the man trusted the Lord. All right, so we have to realize it's God's will for all men to be saved. Why didn't he save him right there when Mueller witnessed him? I don't know. But for whatever reason, the man did get saved in the 46th year. And sometimes this is what makes it so difficult. We look and we see, you know, there's that prayer of David, how long, O Lord? Sometimes that gets uttered more than coming boldly before the throne of grace. So We're talking to the one who spoke the world into existence. He created the sun and the moon and the stars. He can help. He's able to help. And when he does, he'll do the right thing, won't he? And we look forward to that. All right, here's the third thing. And let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. The third point is this, that sometimes we have to trust these things that we're going through, the trials, the tribulations, the burdens and so forth, to the right provision, or the right provisions, plural. Sometimes when we pray, God removes the burden. He removes the trial. He removes the circumstances. And in this case, we have Elijah at Zarephath, and he's with the widow, and the story is about the cruse of oil and the food and the oil just never went away. It just kept multiplying. And then we come to verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And I've read this passage over and over. We've gone through the book of Kings, 1 Kings. And a little while ago, I saw something here that I had never seen before. What was she saying? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what she was saying there. Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Well, let's go on. And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Sometimes God removes the burden. I mean, this is all she had. The boy was all she had. And he died. And his soul was gone. You see there in verse 22, the soul of the child came into him again. So he was dead, and he was revived, resurrected. So we know that is a spectacular instance. Surely the things we ask are not that spectacular. Surely he can answer something in the norm, but sometimes he relieves the burden. He allows you to carry it, and carry it, and carry it. It'll lighten it so that you can bear it. The Lord did that for Naomi through Ruth. And when Ruth's path crossed that of Boaz, that was a burden. She had a burden. Remember, she came back. Don't call me, my old name. Call me by this new name because I'm afflicted and so forth. She had a heavy burden. You know, her family left a place that they shouldn't have left, got involved with a group of people they shouldn't have gotten involved with, and now she's going back with a Gentile woman, a pagan Gentile woman at that degree, and here she becomes in the family line of the Lord Jesus Christ and David, of course. So sometimes he relieves the burden. Or, number three, in verse 20, Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest within the burden or the trial or the sorrow. He'll do one of those three things. I believe this, what I just said here, is the most common answer. He'll give us grace to carry the load. Why doesn't God give us grace ahead of time? Because we don't need it. But when we do need it, He gives it to us. It's there. It's readily available. I liken it to these little ports up in the top of your head. And when God sees that you need an extra measure of grace, He opens the port and pours it in. But He doesn't do it when you don't need it. But when you need it, it's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, concerning the Apostle Paul. Now, I don't know the precise thing that Paul went to the Lord about, but I do know that he went to the Lord many times, three times. In verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from thee. And this was the answer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you think that he still wanted it removed? Absolutely. But it wasn't going to happen. So since it wasn't going to happen, then he was going to do this. He was going to allow the grace of God to offset the weight of the load. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 5, it says every man is supposed to, well, if you want to turn there, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, for every man must bear his own burden. There are things that you have to bear that no one else can bear. And you have to bear them. There are some of those can be very heavy. Some of them may not be so heavy. I say this because none of you can share this burden. After I got saved and witnessed to my parents and my relatives and everybody I could imagine, people that I knew from before, and none of them responded. And we just went year after year after year. And one night my mother called drunk and said, I can't ever be like you. And I said, yes, you can. I said, all you need to do is get saved. All you need to do is trust the Lord as your Savior. She said, no, I can't ever be like you. And we went through, and most of those are calls that she would hang up and then she'd forget that she ever made them. But this particular night, afterwards, she sat up around 1 o'clock in the morning and had a cerebral brain hemorrhage, 98% of the brain gone. And she was 90 days in artificial respirator. And the event of witnessing to her when she effectually was brain dead was not easy. And the fact that she died and in all likelihood went to hell, nobody else than me can bear that burden. It's a burden I have to bear. But God has given me the grace to bear it. And I've gone to Him. And I am at rest with this. And these are burdens that, to me, that's a severe burden. But it's one that I have to bear. All right, but if you go up to verse 2, we read this, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, if I'm going to bear somebody else's burdens, I've got to know that they're burdened. If I'm going to help them in their trials and their afflictions, I have to know what they're going through. How am I going to do that if I have nothing to do with anybody? I've got to bear one another's burdens. I have to know what is happening. And I can shoulder some of that. And sometimes I can shoulder some of many, but I can't shoulder every of them. And I don't think that that was written to the pastor of a church, do you? No, it was written to all of us. We should bear one another's burdens. And sometimes I might be able to carry a heavy load, or I might only be able to carry a light load. I don't know how you measure that, but I do know when something is too great for me, I need somebody to come along and help bear that. And you need somebody to come along and help bear that, aside from the Lord. Because these are things that you and I are to do. Yes, we still come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's true. But we also are not an organization. We're a family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Surely we can bear one another's burdens. Say, well, I'm too embarrassed. Were you too embarrassed to get saved? Did you not want anybody to know you got saved? No, you probably wanted everybody to know you got saved. So why be embarrassed to let somebody know that I've got something, I just need your help? Not only am I resting in the Lord with this thing, but I need your help. There's something to be said of the Lord changing us in our situations instead of Him just changing the situations. If you have not gone through the things you've gone through, and if you've not changed, then really what we've been asking the Lord is just change the situation, but don't change me. Listen, we need to be saying, Lord, change me. Mold me in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do for me so that I can grow close to Thee. Because I know for a certainty, and not only from Scripture, that the Lord will always do that which is right for your life, my life. He's not going to lead us in the wrong way. He's not going to do the wrong thing for us. He's going to do the right thing for us. And I know that He will meet your need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Whatever that need may be, He will meet it. And He's still the God that will supply. Remember Jehovah Jireh in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Here was Abraham with his son Isaac. There was no sacrifice. He told Isaac, you're the sacrifice. And I believe that the Lord is going to deliver you. And there was the knife. It was ready to come down, and the Lord delivered him. And that's why that the place of that is called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will supply. And if we can't believe that, how can we be successful in our Christian lives, victorious in our Christian lives, if we can't believe that God is in control and will ultimately, in time, take care of our trials and our afflictions and our tribulations? We have a responsibility, we have a great privilege to be able to go to Him boldly in prayer and rest. He says, I'll give you rest. And sometimes here, I know how this is because I've done it. We'll do that. I'll cast all that upon Him and walk away and take it back 10 minutes later. That's not the way he wants it done. He says, just leave it. I can take care of it. I can do better than you can ever do. That's why I think the passage in Romans 12 says, you know, don't avenge yourself. I'll do it. If you've ever been disciplined by the Lord, you know that when he takes you to his woodshed, it's severe. But he gives us an option. And he says, if you'll examine yourselves and judge yourselves, then I won't have to judge you. So the practice, the wise practice is judge yourself and realize then the Lord doesn't have to judge you. So do we believe the Lord or do we not believe the Lord? Are we victorious in our Christian life or are we not? It all depends on what we're going to do with giving up certain things in the midst of things we do not like. Thorny ways. And the promise in the hymn was thorny ways leads to a joyous end. And we have to believe that. Just as much as we believe we're saved by grace through faith. Some of you have gone through more horrible things than I could ever imagine. You say, well, who are you talking about? Doesn't matter. I just know. And on a comparative basis, the same thing had to take place. And at the same time, whatever we go through, you can't allow it to scar you for life. Because the Lord is still the Lord. He's still God. He still has the same promise. Come unto me, all you that labor, are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Let's pray. As you bow your heads tonight, how is it with your heart tonight? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you certain you've received Him by faith as your Savior? If not, we give invitations, and you already know that. And in the invitation, we ask people if they want to come and receive Christ as Savior. I'll have somebody sit down with them, show them how they can know beyond any question of their salvation. It's not complicated. And we would rejoice, and everybody here would rejoice if you realize your condition as a person is lost and you need to be saved. We who are saved, there's nobody here that was left out in this message. Nobody. Yours may be in the past tense, may be present, may be future. So the future is preventative. You know, we deal incorrectly a lot of times. We deal reactively instead of preventively. Well, here's a way that you can prevent a lot of heartache, a lot of confusion, a lot of things you wish you never said or did. And so whatever the Lord's saying to you tonight, I just pray that you would allow Him to be what He wants to be in your life all the time. Father, speak to our hearts. We already know who we are. We know what we are. And we know that we need You. And You've said, come unto me. So that I pray that we would. And that we would take the things that are troubling, that create the burdens, and give them to Thee once and for all. And when the new ones arise, the same thing. And when other ones arise, the same thing. And we'll praise You when you take the burden away. We'll praise You when You lighten the load. We'll praise You when Your grace is told to be sufficient for us. We'll just carry it and wait for You to do Your work. So have Your way in the invitation here tonight, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.